Most conferences nowadays have a code of conduct. Us as organizers are very happy there's one, but we're also hoping that we never have to use it. But that's what we're going to talk about today. What happens if someone breaks the rules?
Exactly, because between the two of us, we've run plenty of events, and we found that, you know, when something actually happens, the document matters way less than whether or not the organizers are prepared for what's next. All right, so who are we? My name is Floor. I'm a principal program manager at EDB. I'm a Postgres contributor through my work as chair of the Postgres Community Code of Conduct Committee. I'm on the Contributor Committee for Postgres. I'm on the Postgres Europe Diversity Committee. Lots of committees. Also, I organize PG Day Lowlands, which is an event in the Netherlands for Postgres. And I'm a long-term DevOps Days organizer and core member as well.
Yeah, and I'm Jos. I'm a tech lead for a Dutch company called OGD. At our company, we have a thing called Safe Place, where we practice a lot of the things we're going to talk about as well. Besides my day job, I run DevOps Days Amsterdam, Dutch Cloud Native Day. I'm part of DevOps Days Core. And like Floor mentioned, we've got 10 years of experience between the two of us.
Maybe.
Many, many years, and we've seen a lot. And we want to give you some lessons learned and talk about how we do things.
Exactly. And just to level set, this is not an entry-level topic. We're not going to talk about why you need a code of conduct, what is a code of conduct, how you write one. We assume that you have that knowledge already somewhat, right? We're also not going to talk about what happens when someone breaks the law at your event, which is something that, unfortunately, I have some experience with as well. I hope that you never have to have that experience. If someone breaks the law, you get the authorities involved.
All right, so you start organizing your conference, and there's a lot of stuff to do. You have to get sponsors, you have to set up a call for paper, you have to review 250 talks, now assisted by AI, takes a lot of time. There needs to be catering, there needs to be conference Wi-Fi. Code of conduct is there, but it's, for some organizers, a bit of an afterthought, because we have a good community, right? We have a good community, no incident was reported in the last 5 years, and if something happens, we'll know what to do.
Yeah, famous last words. When something does happen, right, like the hardest part isn't the offense itself, it is the scrambling to respond. Because who should respond, right? Who is responsible for that? How fast is fast enough? Who should be involved in the decision? Who should not be involved in the decision? How is the communication with the person reporting an issue? Like, how do we deal with that? What do we tell others? And when the answers to these questions aren't clear beforehand, organizers tend to freeze because they don't want to get it wrong, right? And so you're just waiting to talk to someone else, waiting to make that decision. The decision often gets even harder when there's power dynamics involved, right? Because what if the person offending is a speaker, a keynote speaker, your platinum sponsor, or one of the organizers? That's very difficult as well. But waiting is not a neutral action. It sort of signals to the person who's reporting an issue that you're not taking their experience seriously, and that you're not a safe space for them. So we want to make sure to avoid any of that, because even if you wait a long time, and even if your decision is technically correct, it doesn't feel right.
All right, we got a couple of scenarios for you. These are things that happened. We're not going to name names, and we'll keep it blameless.
Because we're from DevOps, right?
Like, yes.
Yes.
At DevOps Days, we have a thing called Open Spaces. It's very similar to the Birds of a Feather thing we have at FOSDEM. It's an on-conference type thing. You suggest a topic, we put it on a sticky, we put the sticky on a whiteboard, we vote on the most interesting topics, and you get a room to discuss that topic. No slides, no speaker, just a bunch of people talking. At a 2023 event, someone suggested a topic on women in tech and getting more women in tech. The open space happened. Someone talked about how women with headscarves get preferential treatment over more competent and qualified men. And we didn't have anyone in the room. We didn't have an organizer in the room or a code of conduct team member. After the open space, people came up to us talking about, hey, that happened. I was in the room. That's very uncomfortable. No official report was made. But we decided, hey, this goes against our code of conduct. We're going to make a statement on stage at the closing notes. Floor did, reiterating this type of behavior is not acceptable. And if we were in the room, we would have, at the very least, given that person a warning, or otherwise, maybe removed them from the conference. Afterwards, multiple members of our community came up to both of us, telling how they appreciated our comments, how they appreciated they were very visible. And that was basically our lessons learned. Not only do you need to respond publicly if something publicly happens, to reassure your community, to show why your code of conduct is there, but what we also learned is just having the code of conduct in place is not enough. We started out with just having the code of conduct. We iterated with code of conduct training, and now we do these scenarios we run through a week, 2 weeks before our conference. Every organizer, every volunteer goes through that training.
Yeah, and oftentimes your team is not big enough, right, to have a person physically in every room. So something we definitely learned is to anticipate when a topic might be tricky to make sure that those rooms are at least covered by it.
Yes, very much so, yeah.
Yeah. All right, for a different scenario, DevOps Days Amsterdam 2024, there were global events happening, or there are still global events happening that got some strong reaction in our community. One of our sponsors had their headquarters in Israel, and at the same time, there were a lot of protests in Amsterdam going on around the situation in Gaza. So as part of our preparation for the event, we decided to talk through a couple of what-if scenarios. So for instance, we talked to the rest of the organizers what would happen if our sponsor, when they have their sponsor pitch on stage, if someone would in the audience would stand up and say something like Free Palestine. We made sure that the MC knew exactly what their line was if something like that would happen, and a code of conduct team member was present in the room to make sure to talk to the person shouting out said comment after the session ended, to talk to this member to say like, hey, interrupting someone, a community member like you and me, that is just doing their job, goes against our code of conduct. We don't want to see that behavior at our event. This is not what we do. The sponsor pitch happened. Nobody got up. Nobody said anything. It went off without a hitch. The sponsor was very appreciative because we reached out to them before the event to tell them that we have talked through a couple of what-if scenarios. And so they were also aware what would happen if a situation would occur. Well, luckily, again, nothing happened, but they had had some unpleasant experiences at other events, and so they were very happy that they were informed beforehand and I didn't have to worry about it at all.
Yeah, and that's important to remember. The person there just doing their job as a sponsor, they're just doing their job. They're part of your community too. Code of conduct applies to them as well.
Exactly. So we also had a speaker from Israel that we had reached out to beforehand as well. That person was not able to join the event because of travel restrictions, but similarly, we just prepared with them beforehand. And in 2025, we had two organizers join our team that are originally from Israel, and we just wanted to make sure to talk through to them about the values that we have as the DevOps Days Amsterdam organizing team so that they would also know what would happen in any type of situation. So one of our speakers last year decided to wear a keffiyeh, and but because we already talked to our organizers what would happen if someone wears a badge with, for instance, a flag or anything like that, or a t-shirt with some phrase on it, they already knew how we would respond to it. And because they knew, they weren't fazed by the incident at all. All right. Not all DevOps Days events are organized by the same team, right? So some events might take a very different approach. One event comes to mind that took place in a university. Many student bodies are very active in protest. I don't know if you came in through the back of the room either, but there is something spray painted on one of the chairs, just sort of like proving my point. And they felt like they didn't have enough manpower in the team. They didn't have a budget for external security either. And so just to make sure that everyone at the event felt safe, they decided to not take sponsorship from companies that are in a country that is currently in conflict. That is their choice. They wanted to make sure that they make a decision that the whole team is confident in applying.
All right, so what do you actually need to prepare for? Perfect is the enemy of done. You have to have a code of conduct, and it needs to cover, we think, the basic things. How can someone report an issue? Is that a code of conduct phone? Is that you find this person? Is that an email? That needs to be clear to the people wanting to report an issue. But also, is it named? Is it anonymous? Anonymous reporting can be very safe, but it's so hard to follow up on anonymous reports. So for your community, you might reach a different answer than we do for ours. We want, we usually care about having people visible you can approach, but that's for specifically DevOps days. What happens after a report is made? But also, what kind of actions do you take? Can it be an apology? Does it have to be public? Is that private? Do you ban someone from the conference? Do you refund their ticket if you do? That's all stuff you can think about beforehand. And most of these things come with trade-offs. Also, your code of conduct doesn't need to be perfect, doesn't need to be technically correct, doesn't need to cover every edge case. Because if you do, you run the risk of enforcing the code of conduct to the letter of the code of conduct and not the spirit. So someone might even abuse the code of conduct against another community member. We've seen that happen.
Absolutely. That doesn't mean, by the way, that you do not need to invest any time in looking at your code of conduct and making sure that maybe it needs a little refresh. So we had something a couple of years ago where people were ridiculed for wearing face masks, and we wanted to make sure that the code of conduct clearly states that wearing a face mask is a personal choice and should never be ridiculed.
Yes.
Yes, correct. Okay, thanks. Thanks for confirming. All right, so we're talking about decisions a lot. One thing that is really important to decide up beforehand is who is responsible for what. So many conferences in their opening notes say, like, if you have an issue with anything, you go to the person wearing the orange shirt or the green shirt or the staff shirt. So that is something, sure. But you might also need to be more clear on what kind of issue you can bring to them and what the action is that they will take after that, right? Like, are they the person to actually leave your report with, or are they the person that will bring you to a person that is responsible for the code of conduct? So being a bit more clear about follow-up actions is very helpful. Because sometimes when someone is upset and they approach you, they might just want to, you know, vent to you and then be done with it. So being clear who can take what action is very helpful. We actually advocate for any event to have a dedicated code of conduct response team. That is, their main or maybe their only responsibility is with handling code of conduct reports. Because organizers, you mentioned it beforehand, they're busy with all of these other things, and it's very, very stressful to get a code of conduct report on top of that. You want to make sure that these, a response to something like that is not delayed. It's very stressful to do code of conduct duty. It's not only a passive event. You're not just sort of like sitting there waiting for something to happen and waiting for someone to bring a report to you. You have to be vigilant during the entire event. Maybe you need to check social media too to make sure that there's no harmful messaging happening around your event on social media either. So a couple of things to maybe help your code of conduct response team with that is to create an on-call schedule for your team. For the annual Postgres Europe conference, we had a code of conduct phone, like you could call an actual phone number, and the four people that served on the code of conduct team made sure to take turns taking this phone, so it's not a burden the whole time, because you cannot be on call for 4 days in a row. And when you're creating a code of conduct response team, if you're convinced, then make sure that it's a diverse team in terms of genders and other ways too. Employers, make sure that there's from different employers too. And preferably have one person that is not an organizer, an external code of conduct team member, because sometimes another organizer is the offending party, and it can be really daunting for someone to go to your code of conduct team to rat out one of your peers. So that is definitely something that we want to suggest to do?
Yeah, we also very much advocate for practice. Practice doesn't make perfect, but it makes better. And what I mean by that is you don't role play or anything, and you write out scenarios, like the ones we mentioned, and they can just be a prompt. And those could be things that you expect happening, those could be things you talked about with other conferences in your area that happened there. What if a report comes in from a speaker? What if maybe you have a social event, you serve alcohol, a sponsor misbehaves during that, do you allow them in the next day? We've seen it happen at conferences. I've had it happen myself, where at the speaker dinner's over, at a conference, we go back to hotel. That part's technically not covered by the code of conduct, but another organizer behaves very inappropriately. What do you do? Is that technically part of the conference or not? I ended up reporting it the next day, and the person was no longer allowed to come in. That's the kind of conversations you need to have. And where the conversation turns uncomfortable, where you disagree, that's the thing you're looking for, I think. It's so much better to have this conversation 2 weeks, a week before the event, instead of at 4 p.m., an hour before the closing notes, and now you're in a discussion with five people. Communicate, communicate, communicate is on there for a reason. But the last thing I want to mention on this slide is what's normal for me as a Dutch person, which is transparent, maybe a little direct, is so much over the line for someone else. And our Amsterdam team is 50% Dutch, so there's a lot of people who would have handled an incident differently than me.
Yeah. What happens after the incident? You've decided on a course of action. Or you're deciding on a course of action, it can be extremely difficult. Is this an offense that happened in a private situation, there were just two people involved, then there is no need for a public apology, right? If something happens on stage, it might need a public apology. I think if this is the first time that a person does anything in your community, they might be you might be okay with just a warning. If you know that this person is a repeat offender, you might want to tread differently. I think what helps is thinking in proportion. Two things to think about is what are the chances of this happening again, and what can you do to make sure to avoid that. But also what helps to make people feel safe in your community. As a little personal experience story, I attended a conference of 500 people. There was a question, how many people identified as a woman? Five people raised their hands. A sponsor made an uncomfortable comment towards me, and I walked up to one of the organizers to tell them about it, and they were completely unequipped to deal with my complaint. They had no idea what to do. They said that they had never received a complaint before. And I was like, there's only five women here though. There's probably a reason for that. And that's because we warn each other for this kind of events, right? Like if I'm at an event and I feel uncomfortable, I've been in an uncomfortable situation, I will tell my friends about this to avoid this conference at all costs, right? So, just because something isn't reported doesn't mean nothing happened. So for us, for our team, what we find incredibly important too, as we're running out of time, is to do to do a little review at the end of the conference, like a retrospective, if you will. What went well, where did you get stuck on making a decision, and this is how your code of conduct becomes a sort of more of a well-oiled process than just that document.
Yeah, and this is hard. We've done this for 10 years, and every time new stuff comes up. We're running almost out of time, so we want to give you a couple of last things to think about.
Yeah, to discuss in the hallway, if you will, because 20 minutes, again, is not enough to talk about this. So one thing that's top of mind for DevOps Days organizers right now is, what do you do if you hear from other event organizers or attendees that someone has broken the code of conduct at another event, or this person is maybe even a repeat offender, and now they're a speaker at your event or an attendee at your event? do you ban this person? Do you talk to your fellow organizers to make sure that you're more vigilant in checking out that this person is behaving? And what factors into your decision to maybe ban someone from your event at all? Do you ask for their side of the story?
Yeah, and if you do an event and you serve alcohol, does your code of conduct team need to stay sober? That's maybe a different answer for each community as well.
Yeah, for DevOps Days Amsterdam, we decided that yes, but it's maybe an unpopular opinion. And I think also for this, like, so for so many things in software and in life, your answer might be it depends, and we're curious what it depends on. So please talk to us. Thank you.